Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good morning. Welcome into God's house. He is here. His presence is here, as Frida said. And this morning, I just want to share, as we begin this, a word that God gave me early this morning. I was sharing with Sandra that, you know, it's kind of funny. I wasn't even seeking a word, if you will, or anything like that. And it was regarding the time change. We all hopefully sprung our clocks forward, moved the clock forward an hour. And as I was laying there, God just spoke to me and said, I am the God of no delay, and I'm going to start moving things forward very, very quickly in these last days. And I'm going to move forward some things. I can change that because I am the authority over all time. And if I say a miracle happens sooner than later, it's going to happen sooner than later. And that was a word God gave me for Sandra, but said to share it with the church. Very quickly, I'm moving things forward. Very quickly, I'm answering your prayers. I am the God of no delay.
Amen. Well, I love the title of the message that we're going to be speaking. It is, Your Breakthrough is Closer Than You Think. Think of that sentence. Your breakthrough is closer than you think. Pam, that's good news. That's hope. All that we need is hope. When you have no hope, that's when you've lost faith. But whenever you can have hope, and we are not like those without hope. When there was no hope, Abraham still had hope. And I'm going to bring up in a minute, when we talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I was thinking that everyone goes through the fire, and I was thinking, what was Abraham's fire? Because going through a fire do you know what his fire was? Abraham would have traded going through fire for what he went through. He would have said, oh, please let me get thrown in the fire. Because what God said is, take the thing you care the most about. Take your son. That was his fire. And so when you hear that your breakthrough is closer than you think, That's reason to have hope.
That is so cool. I can imagine on a very lower level going through the fire with Sandra. I can imagine Abraham's was so much worse when he was asked to give up his son. And, you know, and thank goodness that God, and that was a word for me too, Ken. Abraham, God said, will you give me your son? And then he gave him back to him. And I believe that's my word for my daughter, my child, and yours also. But we know that Jesus is the healer. We know Jesus is the resurrection. We know Jesus is our hope. There's so many names for God. But I'm going to give you a new one today that maybe you didn't even know where it was found. And I'm going to read to you as we begin this message from 2 Samuel 5 and 20. So David went to Baal Perazim. And we think of Baal as an idol, and it's not always, because the word Baal just means Lord. So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, as waters break through, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Baal Perazim. Do you know what the word Baal Perazim means? It means Lord of the breaking through. He is Lord of your breakthrough. That's what Baal Perazim, it was the first time that God was ever called, He's the God of my breakthrough. So this morning, I just want to speak to a specific group of people, if that's okay for just a minute. Are you someone who feels like that all hell has literally broken out against you? I thought so. Everybody's in shock. Like, that's me. I'm not a psychic, but I have to tell you that as we live in these last days, the enemy is aware of something that many people are really not aware of. that things are happening fast, that we are living in the end times, that his time is short, and that our time is short. And if he's going to get you, he has to get you now. He has to get you now. And that's why he has all forces of hell are come up against you. And I was telling Sandra yesterday, you have to resist. That means to put extreme pressure on the enemy. That means you have to bring your A game to the table in these last days. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is cunning and he is proactive, but he is no match for the cross in Jesus Christ. He is no match for you because you have Christ in you. Resurrection, you have power. And I want to tell you something about the trials you're going through, about all the things that you have faced up until this point. I want to tell you that God never, ever, ever allows a person to walk through the fire without a purpose. He never allows it except that it has a purpose in your life to develop your character, to draw you closer to God. Can I say that? That part of your fire is to draw you closer to God. And I can tell you something else. When you go through the fire, when you come out, you are going to come out stronger like gold. When I am tested in the fire, I shall come forth as pure gold. I will. What does gold look like? It looks beautiful. What purified? It looks shiny. It looks bright. But most of all, it's very, very strong and very valuable. And that's how you're coming out of the fire, valuable to the kingdom of God, stronger than ever before. And I want to tell you that every time, God is a God of just in time, all the time, every time. And when you're about to break down, it's the time when God breaks through. So if you feel like I'm breaking down, I am just about to break down, I'm telling you that that's the time when you know that your breakthrough is near, that your breakthrough is closer than you think. That was a word that God gave me. I want to tell you that God has the power and he will deliver us from our fire. But as those Hebrew children, Ken said, if he does not, we will still not bow to the gods of this world or to the enemy. I'm not going to quit on God. Yes, I can take the heat. I can take the heat now rather than later. I'll take my heat now. And the outcome of your situation is that you're going to come out. Can I say that one more time? I'm going to hand this to Pastor again. The outcome is that you're coming out.
I like the... that John G. Lake's book was called Adventures in God. He didn't live a boring life at all. He would go places and just trust God. He'd get himself in situations. It was adventures. He was out going on adventures. So I will ask you this. Would you rather be home safe with the doors locked, completely safe, or in the boat with Jesus in the storm? Come on, anyone, being home's boring. Come on, being in the boat with Jesus, now come on. Being home safe is fun. I mean, it's nice, it's safe. But being in the fire with Jesus, that's an adventure. They make movies about that. You know, adventures in God. John G. Lake was telling the story of he got called to be a missionary, and they had just enough money to go across on the boat. They had no money when they got to the other side. They had no place when they got to the other side. He stood in a line to get off the boat where you had to have a certain amount of money to pay for something. He was in line. He had no money to pay. And God provided it in the line. He has his family with him. This is one thing to go by yourself, but to bring your wife and kids with no money and say, we're going to be a missionary. I know what I would advise them, you know, get some. You don't do that. He did it. And when he got off the boat in a foreign country, knowing no one was expecting him, there was a woman waiting for him. And she said, are you the missionary? And she said, God told me to come and look for the missionary. And he's like, all right. Kids, come on. Adventures in God. Come on, that's a good way to live. That's a fun way to live. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Come on, what he did yesterday, And yet Satan always tells us, because Satan will agree that, oh, the miracles in the Old Testament were wonderful. The Red Sea. Oh, in the New Testament, miracles. The New Testament church, that was amazing miracles. God healed in the past. And wait, in heaven, everyone's going to be healed. God heals in the future. But what about right now? Jesus is tired. He went through the fire. He's in heaven resting. He's the same yesterday. Whatever you saw, whatever he said to the woman at the well, he says to you. Whatever he says to anybody, your faith has made you whole. And you know, okay, so with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, of course, this is one of your favorite stories if you're a child, right? This is like Star Wars. This is adventure. This is stuff happening. You know, there's Daniel in the lion's den. That's an exciting story. David and Goliath is an exciting story. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is right up there. But the problem of reading that as a child is you think of it like an adventure movie. But as an adult, I realize this was real. This, imagine putting yourself in that situation for real. They are mad at you. They're soldiers, you know, mad at you. They're hitting you. The king is mad. He's like, we're not just going to kill you. We're going to kill you twice. Turn up the fire. You know, they had every right to be terrified about this. But you know what? Something scared them more than the fire. You know, they respected God more than the fire. But the point is, we know the end of the story. We know that it ends well. They did not know that it would end well. They did not. And so I have a theory that every human being has to face the fire. And it's called hellfire. But if we go through with Jesus now, that fire becomes a purifying fire like it did for Shadrach, not a fire of judgment. So back to Abraham for a second. First of all, he had to think about this all night long. You know, it'd be one thing if he did it in 2 minutes, okay. So he's got to think about this all night long. The thing he loves the most, the person he loves the most, he's got to sacrifice. And in case you're wondering what he thought, now as a parent we can imagine what he thought, but we really don't have to wonder that much. Do you know we actually know what he was thinking? His conclusion anyway. Now, this was the long struggle of his soul all night. Talking about the Garden of Gethsemane. This was Abraham's. But the New Testament says this. This was his conclusion. Let's see. God has said that through Isaac, he would bless all the nations of the world. That he would raise up my seed, that my children and grandchildren would be more than the stars. He said, now, if Isaac's gone, then that can't happen. So there's only one conclusion, that God's going to raise him back up, which is powerful in itself. By the way, that's in the New Testament that it records that. But I'm thinking about another father that had a son that was promised to be the promised one. They named him Jesus, and they said that through him all the nations would be blessed. Through this child, this little child, that the world would be blessed. And then we're found that he's got to go to a cross. And just like Abraham, you go, well, think about that. If everyone's going to be blessed through this Messiah, if people are going to be born again, but if he dies, that can't happen. So the conclusion is the same one that Abraham came to. Well, if he's going to die, I guess God will just have to raise him back up again. I never saw that before, thought about it in quite that way before. Isn't that a cool thought? Being brave does not mean not having fear. Am I right? Being brave means facing things even though you are afraid. That's bravery when your knees are shaking and you still say no to the enemy. They didn't deserve this sentence. They knew they didn't. Joseph knew he didn't deserve what he was going through. But here's the thing. Those that trust in God will not be made ashamed. God does not put shame on us. It is God that removes shame. And I especially wanted to say that because I realize that most human behavior is driven by shame. And Jesus removes the stain of sin. We become righteous. We can stand before him with no sin, cleansed with right standing before God.
It's so true. I want you to think for a minute about the story of Joseph in the pit. I was sharing this with Pastor Ken this morning in the office, that Joseph in the pit, we all have those pit times, don't we? And those prison times when we feel like we've been done unfairly and the enemy has come out against us. I just want you to know part of the reason that we think that these brothers were all against Joseph and all, but the reality was the enemy knew about Joseph. You know, God knows, and the enemy knows too. He watches you, he knows, he sees, and the reason that he comes out against you is because you're a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And he sees that probably more clearer than you see that, and he does know who he targets. So when he came out against Joseph, he wasn't really coming out against Joseph. Let me show you something. The word Joseph actually means Yeshua, it means Jesus. When the enemy came against Joseph, he was coming against Jesus. And beyond that, Joseph had dreams, Joseph had visions, and the enemy was coming against the plan of God. The plan to bring a Messiah forth. So the enemy is coming against your dreams and the plan, which is the plan of God. Because when the Bible says, "I know the plans I have for you," that's God saying, "The dreams are the plans, at plans for good, plans to give you a hope." And so we do face fires and we do face pits in life. But God will either do one or two things. Please don't forget this. God will either deliver you from the fire and from the pit. Or he will do something else. He will deliver you from out of the fire and out of the pit. One of the two things. He will not allow it to happen at all. Or he will allow it to happen for a purpose, as I said, for a purpose. And he will then take you out of it. He will not leave you in the fire. And one of the things you need to remember, and I need to remember, about the entire plan of salvation is to deliver us, not from out of the fire, from the fire. God has delivered us all. They're not the first ones. They only came out of the fire. God's going to deliver you in a better way because of the cross from the fire. You won't ever have to be in the fire because of that fourth man. And so many people come to me when they come for counseling, set up an appointment, and they will tell me, "I don't know where God is. I'm facing this horrible situation. I'm facing divorce. I'm facing fires. I'm facing sickness. I'm facing this." And they will say these words, "I don't feel God. Where is God?" I now have an answer. Where is God when I'm facing the fire? God told me this. I'm already in the fire. You don't see me because I'm already in that fire. I've already gone ahead of you. I'm there ready to deliver you out of the fire. So if you're facing a fire, if you're facing a situation and you say, "Where is God?" I can tell you he's already in the fire. He's already in the pit. You don't have to worry about how you're going to handle the pit because God was already in the pit. When Joseph was in prison, you know, one of those guys got a head cut off, but not Joseph. And by the way, if Joseph had to succumb to, thank God he got sent to the prison. He should be thanking God every day. Thank you, God, I'm in prison. Thank you, God, I'm in prison. I know you have a purpose. You know what the purpose was? To get him out of Potiphar's house before he sinned with that woman. And if he had sinned with that woman, they would have chopped his head off. So are you safer in the prison? Yes, you are. Sometimes we don't realize it. Sometimes we don't realize it in the fire. God's going to do something. But we have to determine, like Daniel did, to live with integrity and no matter what, do not be shaken. And I know that they were shaking in that fire. You know, I was sharing this with Sandra. It's okay to have fear. It really is. Fear is a God-given emotion. If there's a rattlesnake here and you don't have fear, I want to know, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? It's not okay for fear to have you. Fear used as an emotion is healthy. But if you have a spirit of fear where you are afraid of the air and the chair and everything, then that's a spirit of fear. You need to cast that down. But it's okay. I bet when they went in that fire, they were shaking, looking at each other saying, what happened to us? And why? We don't know why. They were shaking, no doubt. Their legs were shaking. They were walking in. Come on, are we human or are we not? But their faith was not shaken. Shaking and shaken are two different things. Shaking, okay. I will never be shaken. Let me read you a couple verses. Psalm 62:6. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. This is my confession of faith, by the way. I will not be shaken. Psalm 16:8. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Let me give you the proper translation for the word shaken. It's not like shaken. It's I will not be moved. I will not be moved off my confession of faith. I will not change what I believe. I will not change what I speak. I will not be shaken or moved off of my position. It is a military term in the Greek. I will not be moved off this position. I am going to defend the word of God because it has defended me. And by an act of my own will, I choose to not be moved. I don't need an answer to the problem. I have Jesus who is the answer. People say, well, what is the answer to this? There's Jesus. He's the answer. What's the solution? Jesus is the solution. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how, and I don't know when, but I know that God is my how and my when. And I know that my date of healing and my date of deliverance and my date of blessing, if you want to know, am I going to win the lotto? Am I going to be blessed by God? It's on God's calendar. You can't mark it on an earthly calendar. God operates off an eternal calendar. And your day of breakthrough, if you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. Your day of breakthrough is already written on the calendar of God, and you can count on it.
So Pam said that that was a military term. Turnaround, which is true. In the military, one of the first things that we learn is how to do an about face. So you get going the other way. And think about this. God is the God of the turnaround. He's God of the about face. And I always put it practically this way. If you're heading to Chicago, right, you're going to the Sears Tower, and that's the proper name, by the way. You guys know that. It always will be the Sears Tower. And it'll always be Wrigley Field and Comiskey, and it's just the way it is. But if you're heading to the Bears game and the sign says St. Louis, you go, well, I'll just keep going. You can't just keep going that way. You're getting further from the game. You've got to turn around. And that's true spiritually. As soon as you turn around, things change. God is the God of the turnaround. As soon as you decide to get in faith, things start working for you. That second that you say, I'm now going to trust God, you don't have to start, you say, I got to wait 4 weeks now. Uh-uh. That seed starts working immediately. God begins to bless immediately. He begins to loose blessing immediately when you make a decision for God. Amen? I heard a story I think it was from World War I, that the Americans were in a battle, and they were losing, and whoever the commander was, they had a bugler, boop, is that, yeah, like a trumpeter, and to sound different sounds, and they said, you know, we're losing, sound retreat, we've got to back off, and so this guy starts playing the song for advance to attack. So everyone starts attacking and they win the battle. The Americans win the battle. And they said, why didn't you, you know, this is great, but why did you play that song? And he said, that's the only song I knew.
Amen.
And that's the Holy Spirit, right? It's like he always is like, we're going forward. We're never going back. So I like that. You know, in the military, sometimes people would say, you know, you just got to turn things around. Just do a 360. And I say, no, because if you do a 360, you're going the same way again. Yeah. Do a 180. Turn it around. Go the other way. And the fire does purify. And I'll say this about mountains quaking. Just because a mountain quakes or an earth quakes, that doesn't mean anything to God. No. Yeah, so what a mountain quakes? So what an earth quaked? God is bigger. And the Bible says it this way. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too big for God? So whatever your mountain is. And so when I say when a mountain quakes, Heffy or thinking about mountains. But when I say a mountain, I mean the mountain of your problem. What are you facing? When Jesus said, speak to the mountain, he was not talking about how to move rocks off roads. This wasn't, you know, a construction advice. This is not talk. He wasn't talking about real mountains. He was talking about, you say to your mountain, you say, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. He's talking about speaking to your problems, prophesying over yourself. And it all starts with realizing that, and I think we're all this way. Oh, if persecution comes, I'm willing to die. I'll be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But if we're willing, Jesus would say to us, that's great that you're willing to die for me. I'm looking for some people that would be willing to live for me. And the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus is definitely a story of a crisis of faith where they, when we start asking why, I mean, come on, you can't ask why when you're in the fire. Because you don't know the end of the story. How did Joseph really know, other than having a dream from God, what exactly was going to happen? How did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego know? How did Daniel know? How did David know? There's some answers to those questions. How did David know that Goliath wasn't going to just smash him like an ant? Because just a few weeks earlier, a prophet of God came to David pretty much on a private ceremony and took a bunch of oil and poured it over his head and said, God has declared you to be the next king. So David's kind of like Abraham. Well, if I'm going to be king, I can't go get killed by this giant. So when he attacked Goliath, he was screaming at Goliath, you're coming against God. I come against you in the name of God. How dare you speak against God? He was with God. He was letting him know that he was with God. And so with Mary and Martha, if Jesus had come 2 weeks earlier and caught Lazarus and just healed him of a mild cough, they would never have known him as the resurrection. They would have only known him as the healer of minor diseases.
Okay. How awesome that Jesus, what we think is a delay, is actually God being right on time. That is so true. They would only have encountered the healer. So many times that's the case. They would have never known. And they knew him like, he's a teacher. He's our friend. He comes to dinner. That's how Mary and Martha knew Jesus. That's all they knew of Jesus. And they seen a few miracles, but they had never seen this miracle, the one that they needed so desperately. And, you know, when we go through situations like that and we're faced even grief and things like that, there are so many times that we are looking for explanations when we should be looking for promises. God is not obligated to give you an explanation for why things happen. Often God will not give you an explanation. Life happens, people. Life happens to all of us. But he's given you something greater. He's given you the promises that you can stand on. And I like to say it like this. For every problem you have, God has given you a promise that is far greater than the problem that you are facing. In fact, for every problem you have, I can guarantee you that I can give you several promises that are so much greater. And you know something that's interesting is you may not have any evidence your breakthrough is going to happen, but you can have confidence your breakthrough is going to happen. Maybe you don't have any evidence, any sign that your breakthrough is about to happen, but you can still have confidence in Jesus because he is your answer. In the Word of God, it says these things. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my deliverer. Jesus is my provider. Nowhere does it say Jesus was my Savior. Jesus was my deliverer. Jesus used to be my provider. It says he is right now. And Tony sings a song, Tony and Willie, that, and Willie worship was amazing. Tony sings a favorite song of mine, I've Got a Promise, Everything's Gonna Be All Right, Be All Right, Be All Right. And I have clung to that song many, many times. Going through horrible trials and tests, I have got a promise, God, and I know it's going to be all right. It doesn't feel all right. It doesn't seem all right. It seems twisted, turned, upside down. It seems like I'm going through, I've got a fiery dart coming from the left and one at the right, and I'm fighting, bombs are coming in this way, but I believe that it's going to be all right. I trust in the promises of God because they cancel out the problems that I face. The promises cancel out the problems. And Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we attest and affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promises. Do you know that we should keep that on our fridge so we can not just remember the promises of God, but we can remember that he can be trusted. You know, have you ever had anyone make you a promise, maybe to love you and cherish you the rest of your life, and they broke that promise? God never will break his promises. He will always keep his promises. And my dad, many, many years ago, Pastor Ken and I's dad, the doctor told him that he most likely had serious colon cancer. And he took this verse that I'm about to read you, and he wrote it on a white piece of paper with black permanent marker, and he laminated it, and he put it on our fridge at the house, and it was still on the fridge the day that Mom got rid of that fridge. Matthew 18:19. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you, are there two here sitting by somebody else? Two of you on earth agree about anything that they ask God for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. If you could put that verse on your fridge and say, whatever I ask according to God's word, and I am in agreement. You know what? What if I can't find Ken and I can't agree with him? I don't have somebody else. Do you know that you can agree with Jesus? Jesus, you can agree with Jesus. My dad went to the doctor the following Monday after he put the scripture on the fridge, and he was found to be cancer-free. I just want to tell you that God wants to break through in your life.
So God has made you to be you. You have to be true to who you are. You have to know who you are. So you know that who you are is an act. You know you don't say things just because it's socially correct to say things. Who you are is who you are in secret. Who you are is the thoughts that you have. And you have to be, because you have to look yourself in the mirror. And you have to know who you are. And you know that testimony about Dad, I want you to consider something. How powerful was it that he wrote on that paper and laminated and taped it? Don't you think that's a declaration? Isn't that like a letting the enemy know that Jesus is Lord? It's like he is risen. You know, the headline, 3 days after Jesus, that's the headline. He is, hey, read all about it. Jesus is risen. He's alive, is what the Bethlehem paper read, was he's alive. It was on the radio. It was big. But think about this a minute. What Dad had written was a scripture. It was a script. What's a script? The doctor says, I'm giving you some scripts. Right? Script is, these are scriptures. These are, a script is medicine. It is medicine. And that's what the Bible is. It's powerful medicine. And so know who you are all the time, because you're someone that has favor with God. I wanted to read, and I've read this before, but I've always loved this so much, because when Jesus was in his earthly ministry, he read the Bible. It was our Bible. It was our Old Testament. When Jesus was reading Isaiah, it's the same Isaiah you read. And when Jesus read Psalms, it's the same Psalms that you read. And Jesus grew in wisdom. His parents taught him about the promises. He learned, first he learned it with his head. But then there's, when you learn something with your head, it's got to drop down into your heart. And I've always imagined Jesus reading these scriptures, and maybe like me, maybe not, I don't know. But maybe like me, he read some things as a child and it didn't quite click. And maybe as he got older and read things, the pieces begin to come together. So I'm imagining Jesus reading Psalm 2, not really having a revelation, and this is what it says. Now, this is, and the reason I want to tell you this is so amazing, is what happened to Jesus when he read this is the same thing that's supposed to happen to me and you. He's going to about to get a revelation of who he is. But you can read the exact same passage and get a revelation of who you are, so you know who you are. See, Jesus knew who he was. He knew what he had to do. He knew the kind of character he had to have. He knew how he had to pray, how he had to seek God, how he had to love God, how he had to represent God, how he had to be passionate about God. And so here's Jesus reading Psalm 2. Which again, we just read it and it's just Psalms, it's just poetry. But when it becomes personal to you, you go, well, wait a minute. Is he talking to me? Is this God trying to tell? So this is what it says. This is Psalm 2. I'll read from verse 4. The one who is enthroned in heaven laughs. I always love that. God's in heaven laughing. He's talking about the people of the earth that are against God. He speaks to them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath. Now this is God talking. I have concentrated my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will declare the Lord's decree. Here it is. Here it comes. He said to me. Jesus is reading this. He said to me, you are my son. Whoa! I don't know when, I don't know how old he was, but at some point in Jesus' life, he read those words. He's saying to me, you are my son. And I thought that was powerful, but when I realized that that same scripture applies to us, you are, it's got to drop in you that it's God says to you, Frida, you're my daughter. And then you go, that's everything.
That's so true. Think about how we are as humans. You know, you all know we just prayed for my daughter. Think of how we are and how much we love our children and what we would do for them. How much more, God? I'm a child of God. How much more will he do for us than we would do for our own children? There's a scripture in the Word of God, and this is just to help you out concerning whatever you're facing. Whatever you're facing, just take this. The Bible says something that I needed to hear it. It said, beloved, don't think that it's strange concerning the fiery trial that you're going. Have you ever thought, this is just strange? Why am I going through this? Don't think it's strange that you're going through this fiery trial, which is to test you as though some strange, unusual thing were happening in your life to you. Don't think it's strange, because God has a purpose for it. It's not strange. We all go through trials, is it? You're not the only one. We look at it and go, it's so strange that I should be going through this. No, it's not. Everyone goes through things. And, you know, I want to continue just for just a minute, and I'll be brief. I want to share something with you that Mike Murdock wrote that I needed to hear this too. He once said this, and it is in his book, an increase of demonic activity, and anything from the enemy is demonic. It's not spooky, it's demonic. Activity around a believer is a sign that Satan fears you. And he sees that you are on the verge of stepping into one of the greatest seasons of your life. He often recognizes what is happening before the individual does. He sees the direction you're heading. He knows that you are still in church. You're still doing what you're supposed to do, and he fears you. How many of us have feared the enemy too long when he should be the one fearing us? And when the enemy threatens to kill you, the bottom line of every test you go through and every trial is, will I make it? Will I die? Will I live through this? Can I make it through it? And when the enemy threatens to kill you, and here's what I do. This is just me personally. Here's what I tell the enemy. I am not terminal. I am eternal. You can't kill me, or you already would have done it. You tried. You failed. You tried. You failed. You tried. You cannot. You do not have the authority. I am created by God. I am eternal. I belong to God. There is a hedge of protection around me. The blood has been applied to my life. You cannot. You cannot erase that blood. You cannot take me out. God's going to bring me out. You can't. You wanted this trial to take me out, but instead God's going to bring me out of the fire, bring me out of the pit, bring me out of that situation. And like I said, your day of breakthrough has already been recorded in heaven. In fact, let me tell you something else. The day you give your testimony is already recorded in heaven. I don't know on what Sunday you're going to give your testimony a breakthrough, but God knows what Sunday you're going to give your testimony a breakthrough. Because here's what Christine Kane says, and I love it. Her book is Unstoppable. That's the name of Unstoppable. Do you know you are unstoppable? That the enemy cannot stop you and he can't take you out. So today's word, if I was giving you a word, I would say, church, rise up. Rise up. Trust in God. You know, I love that, you know, we're witnessing this war with Ukraine. Between the Ukraine and Russia. And I have so appreciated the stand of the president of Ukraine. He is a 44-year-old man that was offered asylum by the United States of America and other countries. And he is 44 years old, and him and his wife have refused to accept those offers because here's what he said. I will not run. I will not hide. I will stand my ground. He's not wavering. How much more should we not waver and stand our ground?
So there was like a 3 or 4 day period last week where I didn't check any emails at all. And when I went through the ones that I missed, first of all, I realized that I had lost opportunities to become multimillionaire several times.
Yeah, proposals, things like that.
Yeah. I needed to send in my personal information. But we realized that every one of those are traps to actually hurt us. And the enemy... I mean, how often can someone offer you a spoiled chicken sandwich? You want a rotten chicken sandwich? No. You want this? No. Learn to say no to the enemy. Learn to say no, 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 no. Just no. No. You ask again. The answer is no, no matter what it is. You know, what Zelensky said that was kind of cool was when the United States offered to take him out of there, he said, I don't need a ride, I need ammunition. And that is saying no to the enemy. And we've got to say no to our spiritual enemies. Give the devil no place. You have no place. And, boy, Jesus didn't even respect the enemy. He would slam him. And I like that authors these days, they won't even capitalize S in Satan, you know, then they'll put on their books. I've read this in books. We realize that Satan's name should be capitalized according to the English rules of grammar. However, we're going to deliberately put a small S there because I've said this before, but I love the thought that Satan so much wanted to be Lord, right? He wanted to be thought of as a Lord that Jesus mockingly called him the Lord of the flies. You're the Lord of the garbage heap. You're the Lord of dung. I mean, it was just slamming him. And I like what you said, that Satan needs to know our name. You know, he needs to run from us. I once had I don't know if I would call it a prophetic dream, but it was an inspired dream at least. In the dream, I was being chased and I was running for my life. And I remember being terrified in my dream that I'm running away from someone that was coming after me. And in the dream, I thought to myself, but you're a child of God. You have the name of Jesus. You have the sword of the Spirit. And in the dream, I said, what I have to do is attack the person attacking me. And in the dream, I turned around and I started chasing my attacker. And that's the way it needs to be spiritually, where Satan would say, I know Paul and I know Frida. I know who these people are, that when we use the name of Jesus. Well, we're going to close in prayer. We do have service tonight. We have service tomorrow night. We hope that you will join us. We're going to continue to stand with Sandra. We're going to continue to stand with any person in your family that's had COVID or that might have long COVID symptoms. And remember, God can do more than one thing at a time. If you say, I'm a wreck and there's 12 things wrong with me, God's like, just 12? Is that, you just have 12 things? God can do that. God can do that. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for every person here. You know their mountains. You know their challenges. You know their attacks. But we know that you're bigger. We say no to the enemy. We say yes to God. We say yes to blessings. It's time for a turnaround. God, we choose you. We choose blessings. Father, we walk out of the darkness and we walk into the light. Father, walk with us in the light. Walk with us through the fire. Walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Walk with us tomorrow. Walk with us tonight. Be with us. Protect us. Walk hand in hand with us. Walk by our side. Be our shepherd. Be our friend. Be our comforter. Lord, we love you. We choose you. We declare it over, just like our Father did. We take a prescription from heaven that Jesus is our Lord. He is our everything. He is the God of the breakthrough. And God, you break through into our heart, into our life. In him is light, and in him is no darkness whatsoever. He said to us, you are my children. You are my children. Father, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.